This is All India Radio. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on stress-free exams. The participants are Ira Trivedi, yoga expert, Professor S.K. Garg, Vice Chancellor, Delhi Technological University, Dr. Lokesh Shekhawat from Ram Manohar Lohia Hospital, and Aarti Dhar, journalist who initiates and moderates the discussion.
Pariksha Pe Charcha was the talk of the town today. Today we'll discuss what the Prime Minister had in mind and he spoke to the students. Professor Garg, stress is one major cause of suicide or distress, whatever name you give. So how much role does a parental pressure have on student stress?
Whenever we enter into new year and board exams or date sheet is announced, I think this becomes a topic in the society about exam pressure, stress and similar kind of things. What I feel is there are two, three things which create this kind of a phenomena in the society. One, too much pressure by the parents to perform better. Second, there is a lot of emphasis on good marks to get next good admission. Third, somewhere we compare our kids with our neighbor's kids. So that creates also some kind of a pressure on the students, on the children as well as on the parents. So what we have to do in this kind of a scenario, we have to change this mindset or society guidelines. What we have to see is we have to guide or counsel the children that, okay, exams are very important and every stage in our life we have to face exams, whether written or one kind of another. So we have to take them in a very, very sportsman manner and we have to perform better by doing a hard work and smartly preparing for that rather than taking it as a stress or taking it as a negative kind of a thing which is happening in your life. Take it in a more positive manner so that you can give good your own output and so that stress is not coming into the system. So rather than how to manage the stress, we should try to do certain things which will prevent the stress coming into the system, avoiding the stress rather than managing the stress. So that is what I feel we have to change in our families, in our society also, that we should keep the students at or children at ease whenever there is a period of exams.
Dr. Shekhawat, when the students come to you, what are the worst fears they express?
First problem of them is that I am going to fail this time and the failure of this exam is end of my life. So that kind of tunnel vision is I used to see with the patients. They say that this failure is equal to my life. It is not like this. This kind of tunnel vision should not be there. One failure is fine with the people. The fear of failure is, I think, one of the most important problem with this. And they think that getting less marks is also a failure. I used to get 100% marks. This time also I should perform with the 100% marks. That should not happen. One of the most common complaints by the students are headache. Memory problems. They say, I don't remember nowadays. Headache is very common. Sleep is disturbed. The problem is, whenever the exams are there, they start reading a lot. And when they start reading a lot, they forget everything. And this first thing they compromise is sleep. Once they start compromising with the sleep, they start waking up in the night and studying a lot. That puts a lot of pressure on them, physically and psychologically. And that stress comes out in many problems. One of them is memory disturbance because too much information they are getting, but there is no time to process it. So that is one of the common problems. Then the body ache, forgetting everything. They say that this time I think when exam paper will come to me, I will be blank. I don't know how will I answer the questions. So that kind of problems we usually see with the students when they come with the exam stress.
Prime Minister stressed a lot on yoga and the importance of yoga in de-stressing.
ये जो योगा है ना, कुछ लोग मानते हैं ये कोई फिजिकल एक्सरसाइज है तो ये बॉडी बिल्डिंग का काम नहीं है. ये योग का मूलतः काम शरीर मन बुद्धि आत्मा इनको एक सिंक्रोनाइज वे में काम करने के लिए है. वर्तमान में जीने की आदत कॉन्सेंट्रेशन के लिए एक रास्ता खोल देती है.
What would you say, Ira?
Absolutely, our Prime Minister is spot on with this advice. Most kids are learning yoga in school. The problem is that they're not learning yoga properly. They treat it as something which is a mandatory exercise like a PT. So it's very important to have the right kind of teaching of yoga, not just that any yoga teacher has come and is teaching you just some basic asanas. So even children need to understand that there is a much bigger component of yoga than just a physical practice. yoga needs to be taught in schools like something enjoyable. Children should look forward to yoga as opposed to thinking of it as the most dull and boring subject. So I'm seeing this in schools that kids are often feeling like this, but I feel that if we teach yoga in a proper way, it can be a beautiful way to combat stress, because yoga works on a very subconscious level. So even though we're physically practicing asanas, when we stand there in stillness and focus our gaze to hold an asana, we're actually focusing our mind. The breathing exercises of pranayama that we do in yoga, which is also taught in school, again, when we control our breath, we control our mind. And so when we do this, then automatically stress is released and our mind and body relaxes. The third component of yoga is that certain asanas work on our hormones, you know, so they work on stress hormones. And therefore, yoga is a very good way of physically stopping the release adrenaline hormone, which is induced by stress. So when adrenaline is released, we get more stressed out, you know, we get more hyperactive, and this can be translated into stress. So therefore, we have to be really very mindful of doing yoga in a proper way and teaching yoga to children in a proper way. So again, yoga has, number one, a physical benefit from stopping the release of the stress hormone. When we take in deep breaths, also we become very de-stressed. So when we do the deep breathing, which is associated with yogasanas, then we automatically release a lot of stress from our body. Secondly, because of the concentration and focus that we develop, that in itself is an anti-stress activity, and that focus and concentration anyways helps children to perform better on exams, because when they're there in the moment, writing the exam, they're very much focused and mindful, and they stop thinking about other things like, oh, am I doing this well or not doing it well? So on a physical and a mental level, yoga has huge benefits for children and for exam stress.
Professor Garg, the Prime Minister today said that teachers should be a part of the family. What do you have to say about it? And what are the signs which a teacher should look in students?
I fully agree that because a good part of day's time students spend with the teachers. And teacher, because of his experience every day, like in my life of 25 years of teaching, every year we get 100 new students face to face. And that means kind of parents are able to expose two kids, whereas we teachers are exposed to large number of kids. And every year new kind of students are there. So better trained or better tuned to hand. Two, three things teachers should keep in mind. If in a class they find that one student is not talking to his friends, or he's even after the class is over and is still sitting just like he's not existing in the system. So those kind of symptoms or those kind of things teacher should be able to see. And more important is teacher should spend some time other than his class time. I'm in engineering college, so in our most of the cases, we enter into the class just at that nick of a time and leave. And during those 50 minutes or 55 minutes, we are with the student. After that, we generally, many of times, we are not able to give time to the student. So we should keep that also, that we should give some time or keep human touch with the students also. It is not just a delivery of the lecture. Second, one more point, Dr. Shekhawat was saying about students read a lot just before the exams and they're not able to process. I used to say, I have interacted with a large number of students also in 11th, 12th schools also. I used to give them a kind of a diverging and converging. That means up to January, you can read as much as you want. But after that, you have your own notes only for last 30, 35 days of your studies. That means you should not read any extra book or any extra page. Whatsoever you read, you now start converging, so that you are having a very set kind of thing and which you are able to comprehend and which you are able to reproduce at the time of exams in a very nice manner. Just before the, let's say 30, 35 days before the exam, you should not add any new material into your learning kit. So whatsoever you have learned, make your own notes and mark it that this particular topic I'm going to study from this book, this particular topic I'm going to study from this book, and then freeze that. So that burden is reduced.
Dr. Shekhawat, parental pressure plays a lot of role on stress. One is that thing, and another is, how do parents identify stress signs in their children?
First of all, whenever the exams are announced, they see that the child has started reading a lot. At that time, the parents should start talking with the child. And they should, if the child reports that I am getting vague somatic symptoms, headache, body ache, anything like that, I am not able to concentrate, I am not able to remember nowadays, the parents should understand that this is a kind of exam pressure now. Nowadays, the kid starts showing anger outburst. they become frustrated and they show the anger. It is also an indicative that the child is under pressure now. If the child starts remaining aloof, doesn't talk much, that is also indicative of exam stress. Sometimes that is exam and how does it reach to the suicide and all these things, serious mental problems and serious life-threatening issues. At that time, the child sometimes the reports to the parents, if this time I doesn't score good, would you keep loving me in the same manner? This is a very important question, a very important thing to identify. This is a signal for suicide. So we have to tell them that your score is not the indication of our love and affection. You are loved because you are our kid. So that kind of things should be given to the child. And child should not be always said that your friend is scoring like this, your friend is scoring like this, he has got in IIT. Don't keep comparing with them. Every child is different from each other. We should have to respect him and ask him. You may have different skills. Don't bother about scores. You try to learn as much as you can learn. That is the only thing.
Ida, one was yoga for de-stressing. How does it help build a child's confidence?
So there are, again, many ways. And we're going to look at this from a physical perspective and from a mental perspective and also from a spiritual perspective. So from a physical perspective, when we do an asana, we really challenge ourselves because we're moving in our body in ways that we are not normally used to moving it. For example, a headstand or shirshasana, which is considered one of yoga's most important asanas. When we stand on our head, it's actually very simple to do and most children can do it. But just there's a lot of fear of doing it. Is something going to happen to me? Standing upside down also means turning the world upside down. So when you challenge yourself in a physical way, it really builds confidence. So even asanas like a Sarvangasana or shoulder stand, when you're standing in that position, which you're not normally used to, you are physically challenging your body, and when you physically challenge yourself, you are helping get over that fear. Most yoga asanas are achievable at everyone. The reason why we don't achieve them is because of the fear of failure. So every asana really actually mirrors what is going on in our mind. I have seen that depending on the state of mind that day, my asana practice is also that way. So if I'm in a very nervous mood, I find myself moving and falling all over the place. If I'm feeling empowered and confident, my practice is also empowered and confident. So that's one. On a mental perspective, again, as I said, the pranayama that we do, the asanas that we do, it leads to mind control, leads to emotion control. So when we have a good control of our mind, of our emotion, that we develop through a yoga, through an asana and pranayama practice, we have a fear over our, we have a control over our fear. We have a control over our stress. We have a control over negative emotions. And of course, from a spiritual perspective, yoga has huge benefits because it raises your energy level. It raises your consciousness and you begin to understand that fear and happiness and all of these emotions are really just a state of your own mind. It's a play of your mind. And you realize that in some way you're above all this. You realize that the soul is watching everything, but the experiencer is the mind. So you realize that you are more than the experiencer. You know, so from a spiritual perspective, this is the lesson. Of course, children or even adults, it's difficult for them to understand some of these more esoteric things. But the beautiful thing about yoga is that there is a subconscious change. There really is, whether you know it or not. So many times we keep on doing asanas, pranayama, meditation. We don't even know what's happening. But we go back to it because somewhere deep inside something is happening. You know, it's a very, very subtle change that happens in our consciousness. And yoga can definitely get you there. And that's why it's beautiful that in our country, yoga is started from a younger age. I just wish in adult life, people continue that practice. But again, it is very important to teach yoga in the correct way.
Professor Garg, Prime Minister said something very important today, which is he asked the students to prepare themselves to become to do something rather than becoming something.
Vivekananda ji hamesha ek baat kaha karte the, aham brahmasmi. Wo kehte the ki apne aap ko kam mat mano, aham brahmasmi, main hi brahma ka roop hu. Yani aatmavishwas jagane ki baat karte the ki man mein ek bhav rehta hai aatmavishwas ka. ये बहुत आवश्यक होता है. आत्मविश्वास हर कदम पर कोशिश करते 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 बढ़ता है और हम उसको अचीव कर सकते हैं. और इसलिए निरंतर ये कोशिश होनी चाहिए कि मैं जहां हूं उससे मुझे कुछ और अधिक करना है और इसके लिए जो मुझे करना पड़ेगा वो मैं करूंगा.
मिस्टर मोदी सेड स्टूडेंट्स शुड हैव कॉन्फिडेंस अमंग देमसेल्व्स व्हाइल प्रिपेयरिंग फॉर एग्जाम्स. He said several students lack confidence despite working hard for exams. Do you think he hinted at some kind of a change in the education system?
This we are debating a lot. Actually, in our country, the competition, so-called, because number of opportunities are very limited and our population size is large. So in that case, everybody looks to those opportunities. And in that process, we forget about what we want to be. We are more focused on what we want to become. You cannot just it's important that you should do what you are love to do, you like to do. But at the same time, somewhere you have to be have standing in the society or job and other thing. So that also it's a very kind of a balance is required between the two. You should be able to reach to your goal or target. At the same time, you should also love while reaching to that place. You should love your journey also. So both the things, goal is important, at the same time the journey is also important, which are, both has to be looked together. What I feel, every student has a capacity, different capacity to bear the stress. It was in 2009, I was a chairman of the university level anti-ragging committee. And we, one student complained and then we called the senior. He said, sir, maine to kuch bhi nahi kiya tha. But I don't know why he is feeling so hot. Then my colleague was there said ki har student ki apni capacity hoti hai, tumne to kuch nahi kiya, but he has a very low capacity to even for that also.
Dr. Shekhawat, can you give us some tips for students so that they can keep the stress away during exam time?
First of all, I will all tell them, don't try to perform better this time. As much as pressure you will keep to perform better, your performance will worsen. It's okay, it is fine, I am going to fail, it's okay, I will fail, but with happiness, with not that much burden. The person will perform better. And I have seen many students who perform very well. They have good marks, but they always have a performance anxiety. So I will tell them, they don't have fear of failure. It's okay, you go and appear in the exams. Second is, I will always ask them, don't compromise with the sleep. Sleep is the most important restoring function of the brain and body. If you compromise with that, you are going to be more stressed. I tell them, don't bother about memories. They say that I am not remembering. I tell them, keep reading. Your mind is getting all these things. Don't bother about, if you think I need to remember it, I will forget it. You will not be able to remember. So keep reading. Reading will itself make memories. Our mind keeps catching things. It is not like the person is, if you keep monitoring his own mind, that I have learned this thing in the morning, I will monitor myself whether I remember that or not. But that thing is not done in usual time. At that time, they remember well, but when they monitor themselves at the exams, they think that they don't remember this point. I remember only 2 points. It means I will not be able to write that in the exams. They should keep reading again and again. They should also keep doing some entertainment things. They should keep discussing with the fellow students and their colleagues so that they can remember more and more. They should give the priority. What are the important things? It is not they will read a lot and they will remember a lot. They should prioritize what are important and that will appear in the exams. They should always focus on that area. And I will always advise parents also that they should keep talking with the child when the exams are there. Because if they will keep talking with the child, they will keep ventilating. The child will keep expressing his problems and his emotions at that time. And they can identify the warning signs also.
How important is sports during exam?
It's very important. Again, but in a balanced way, because oftentimes if you overdo the sports, then it can take a physical toll on the body. Children can be tired, they can, you know, they need more rest during exercise, and if they're not able to get that rest, then it can definitely cause, it's more difficult to study if you're tired, if you're physically tired. That said, something like yoga is the perfect activity to do because it's physical, but at the same time it's restorative, it's not exhausting. So I do think a little bit of physical activity is required during exams. Walking, a jog, yoga, these are all great ways. I would not suggest going and playing a cricket match or going and playing a football match or even playing a little bit of football. Sometimes having a lot of people around you, it'll distract your mind from the studies. Of course, if you want to go for half an hour and it's a good outlet, that's all right, but again, it depends on how intensely one is required to focus and how easily distracted one can get. Because if you're going and playing a combined sport, then, you know, we'll baatein to hui jaati hain sabke saath. So it is a little bit of information coming in, different thoughts enter your mind. And for kids, it's very important to keep that single focus on studies, because as it is in this day and age with the TV, with the iPad, with the internet, there's so many distractions. So we should try to take all those distractions out and really, really focus our minds. So yes, I definitely advise some kind of physical activity, at least 30 minutes to an hour of some form of physical activity, something gentle and restorative versus something very exhausting and stimulating.
Professor Garg, you have a psychiatrist in your college. How helpful has it been?
It all happens actually about a year back. We have two or three incidents in our campus where students were not able to cope up and they committed two cases of committing suicide also. At that time, we took a call. We appointed one psychiatrist and we are also in the process of finding a good psychologist also. But we observed that it's a 1 year plus experience with that. First 6 months, we were in continuous touch with the doctor. He's coming twice a day to our campus. And he found that not many students are coming to me. We also observed that. Then what we did about 3 or 4 months back, we put a large number of posters in our hostels, in our educational area and other things, where we have exposed them that just there is a facility available. And this is not a disease or anything. Anybody can come and share his, vent out his stress or whatever he is feeling. And now we are finding in last 2 months, doctor has reported and we have also seen that many students are coming and sharing his. And I hope this will provide a healthy atmosphere at the campus. So it's important that in the society also, we should not feel psychiatrist as some kind of a mental disease or something. It's a very kind of a, just like if you are having a headache, you go to the doctor. Similarly, if you are having some kind of stress, you don't feel like that. People take it as a taboo that I'm going to a psychiatrist. That means that something is wrong with me. Society has to also change its standards on that. It's not a, this is just like any normal thing for normal body disease or anything, we are going to a doctor. Similarly, this is another doctor which is also looking at our body. That is also means psychology or brain. That is also part of the body. And there is another specialized way or person is available who can listen to you, who can address that particular issue also.
So Dr. Shekhawat, parental pressure often makes children feel that parents are our enemies. Would you have something to tell the students at this point in time?
Most of the time, the parents keep asking the child to study more, study more, study more. But the child feels that it is, I am studying enough. And sometimes they may not be studying much. But the parents think it is less and they should study more. I think they should not ask again and again. They should ask the child to have their own responsibility that I want to study, I want to do something. That thing is more important. If you keep asking them, they will feel that they don't want me to be all right. They don't want me to entertain. They don't want me to mix with the friends. So those kind of things, I think they should, most of the time the parents say that I have asked him that he has to study for 10 hours. I say, why do you want him to study for 10 hours? Then the student says, I can study for only for 5 hours and that is my limitation. I cannot go beyond that. So the parents should understand that whatever the capacity they have, that is different than your child's capacity. They should not consider that if they can pick up 100 kg weight, then your child will also pick up 100 kg weight. Everybody has a different capacity to tolerate the stress. So they should leave this responsibility on the kid and they should ask them. And if they are not studying, ask them, why are you not studying? What is the problem with you? What are you thinking? Whether you are not getting, sometimes what happens, they have difficulty in studying. They are not able to understand the topic. That can be taken care of when we ask the kid, what is the problem? Why? What is the problem? Why are you not studying? He said that I am not able to understand these basic issues and I want somebody who can help me. Then I can keep studying. So those things can be taken care rather than asking them again and again. Directly asking them doesn't help. And directly asking them what is the problem, where is the problem, that can help the parents.
Professor Garg, how important is failure in a student's life? One failure can lead to a series of disasters.
Slightly, I would like to differ from this statement, but my personal perception is the student has a talent and a capacity. One is requirement is one always keep on improving his talent and the capacity, like Dr. Sav is saying, that every student has a capacity. One student can lift 100 kg, another is only 60 kg. So we should respect that and we should understand that, number one. But we should try to enhance, give them boost and other things. We should try to enhance his capacity. But if the capacity is not, don't put overload on that. Coming to your question, what my perception is or my experience is, many students have seen, they're very good in 10th class, 11th also, and you were expecting a very good performance in 12th also. But unfortunately, they are not able to perform that well and not able to get good admission also. As per the parents and teachers' perception that this boy is going or girl is going to such good admission. But you find after 4 years or 5 years, he is able to catch up, he or she is able to catch up and will reach to a place where he is meant to be. Because he has a talent and the capability. If one incident is not able to perform, then he is going to pick up. But definitely, if take this as one incident to his heart, then obviously it will lead to a series of disasters. So at that place, somebody has to guide him that one single incident is not going to play much big role in your complete life. It's a very small incident, provided you keep maintain your capacity and capabilities and keep on performing. Don't take as one single not so good performance as end of the day or end of the career. So that is what my personal feeling is on this.
What would you say, Dr. Shekhawat?
I usually tell the students that one best cricketer, will he keep scoring 100 runs in every match? It is not possible. Then how do you think that you will keep performing 100 every time? So one failure is fine. Two failures are fine. I don't think somebody who has reached on the top position and has not faced failures. I tell them, I have faced many failures. I have reached to this level. But one failure means I will get up, I will start reading again, and then I will reach to another success. May not be in the direction you are going. One best cricketer was not good in academics, but he is very good cricketer. One Bollywood star is not good in his one part, but he has been a star in another part. You just to try to identify your capabilities, your areas of interest, your passion, where you can perform better. So don't go by the failures. You try to identify which area is of your interest. Then you will definitely excel in that area. And no job is an inferior job. Every job is a better job if you can do it. Is passionate. If you have passion in that, you will perform much better than others.
And I just want to give one tip I've been noticing this, that the trend nowadays is late night studying. You know, children are awake all night studying till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And actually the best way to study is to wake up early in the morning. They say that whatever you do between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m., and really your mind has the capacity to absorb a lot more. There's scientific research backing this. This is why spiritual study is usually done in the morning, because our ability to absorb really does increase by a lot. Our mind is fresh, our body is fresh, and therefore I really urge students to try this. To, instead of staying up late, wake up early in the morning and try to see if you can study from 4 to 6, how much better you can perform. Early morning hours are worth double late night hours. So what you can achieve in 2 hours, you would be able to achieve in 4 hours in the evening. So I strongly suggest that try reversing the schedule. And I have myself seen students, when I've given them this formula, dramatically how much their results increase. So I've also seen this in my personal life, that people who wake up early in the morning, that really is the secret to success. So I urge students to reverse their schedule and to wake up early and to study, finish all the studying early in the morning versus late at night.
Dr. Shekhawat, can students self-correct themselves? Is there a mechanism?
Definitely, they can correct themselves, but they should not have a self-critical attitude, self-defeating attitude. I couldn't do well, I will not be able to do well ever in my life. That attitude should not be there. They should just think, okay, it's okay, one failure is fine. I will improve myself. Improvement and doing best is different than blaming himself. I couldn't do well, and I cannot do well. So okay, they should say, I got failure, but I am not a failed person.
Professor Garg.
Feeling loss of hope kind of a thing because of their social background or economic background. For them also, I want to say that they also have large number of, they are born at a very right time. So at this point of time, country has large number of opportunities, and more important, people are there who can handhold. Only thing required for this category of students that they should put little bit more efforts and slightly more this thing. All the teachers are available for them also to handhold them and take them to the next level. And their parents encourage their kids. Don't tell them that I am working in a labor class. You are also going to work in a labor class. Why you are studying it?
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on stress-free exams. The participants were Ira Trivedi, yoga expert, Professor S.K. Garg, Vice Chancellor, Delhi Technological University, Dr. Lokesh Shekhawat from Ram Manohar Lohia Hospital, and Aarti Dhar, journalist, who moderated the discussion. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can also listen to this program on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.